Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Actually, speaking of which...
Go on.
Do you know what I saw recently? Wild... Oh God, I've forgotten the name, but Wild Mountain Time.
Did you see it?
It's brilliant.
Did you like it?
Well, I mean, I watched it with a bunch of people and, like,
That is the way to watch it.
I'm hoping that the people who made it meant it. If they were taking the piss, then like that's not like fair enough. That's very funny. But they actually mentioned it's 10 times funnier.
Yeah,
and like, you know, one of the actors in it, really his surname sums it up, John Hamm. But I still liked it.
Did you watch Mad Men?
I saw the first series of Mad Men and I can't believe I didn't go on. I know, yeah. I believe it's great.
It really was.
It's a lot of the big series I've never actually watched, really. And like, I don't know why I only went to one season of Mad Men. It was very good, but
Took me a while. What happens to me is if people talk about something for ages and ages, I get annoyed and I don't want to watch it. It was like you going on about Succession. I didn't watch Succession for ages because you were annoyed.
No, without a doubt though, but what amazes me is the fact that not many people are talking about the best series on TV, which is Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Did you see the ending of the first part of season 5?
Oh my God,
it's just the most incredible ending to, like, there's only 6 more programs to go or so, but oh, it's just, I'm like, what?
It's better
than Breaking Bad. Oops, I said it.
You have this funny thing where you count the programs, how many episodes.
Yeah, I kind of know. Like, for instance, like when people talk about the Red Wedding at Thingamabob, I know it's program 29. I told you before, me in numbers. I'm no good at maths, but I have a thing. I see numbers.
That's bizarre.
Anyway, let's not get into it now. We're not on the psychiatrist's couch now. So, what have you got for us? Sorry, Africa O'Connell is the voice you're hearing. Off you go.
The Africa. Yeah, great. Okay. What's the worst hotel experience, without naming names, that you've ever had?
We went on holidays once to Spain once and we just said, you must be joking. And they gave us another room which was nearly as bad and we said, ah, feck it, we'll just stay here. It was on what do you call the place over on the right-hand side? There's a name for it, up on the top on the right. I can't remember.
The right-hand side
Spain. The Algarve, the other thing, the other part. Oh, I don't know what it was called. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Were you in Portugal?
No, it was in Spain.
The Algarve's in Portugal.
Yeah, no, it was up the other end. It was kind of like the Belfast side of Spain.
Okay. I don't know. But what you can do...
No, I'll be thinking about this for the next time.
I know,
I'm
will.
I'm going to come up with it.
You will.
Anyway, go on.
So what you can now do, if you're so minded, is you can stay in a Swiss zero-star hotel.
In other words, a really bad one.
Yeah. Right. So basically, this is an art project.
Oh, of course it is.
By the Ricklin brothers.
Yeah.
So some of the complaints that people get or put in about their hotel rooms is that they couldn't sleep or the room was too noisy or the aircon was awful or whatever. But these are Swiss concept artists, the Ricklin brothers.
And sounds bad already.
And they have set up a zero-star hotel. So basically what it is a double bed on a platform with 2 bedside tables and lamps. There's no walls, ceiling or doors to provide any privacy or shelter of any kind. And they've set up their suite the German for zero star, by the way, is Null Stern. So it's on the side of a road next to a petrol station in the village of Sion in Switzerland.
Okay.
And do you know what the point of it is?
No.
You're supposed to stay in the zero star hotel and think about all the problems and crises in the world. Now you can solve
them. Do you have to pay for this? I mean, like, I presume it's free, is it?
I think it's free, yeah.
Right.
They didn't mention any prices. In Reuters, anyway, didn't mention any prices when they were talking about it. But doesn't that sound like fun? Go and lie on a double bed beside a petrol station in the Swiss countryside.
They don't need air conditioning, I presume.
No, they don't. I'd say it's very chilly.
Is there anything en suite?
No, there's nothing en suite.
Really?
I think there's
Do you just pee up against the wall of the garage?
I think you might have to. And I think what you have to do is you have to lie there and you have to consider all the problems and crises in the world.
I understand that bit,
that you have caused by being alive. Like, you have to think about climate change and you have to think about war and humanity's endless quest for perfection and the damage that it causes the planet.
And like, I bet you I know how you go asleep.
Holiday idea.
I bet you to go asleep then, like, you know, if you're sleeping or trying to get to sleep at the garage and the cars are going by making noise, you can look at the prices of the petrol and instead of counting sheep, you can price the fact that the petrol prices are going up by 10 cents every second.
Ticks up, exactly. So Patrick Ricklin said, in a nutshell, the point of it is, it's not the time, now is not the time to sleep. We have to react. And if we continue the same direction we are today, there might be more anti-idyllic places than idyllic. So it's an anti-idyllic site, is what they're doing.
I see, yeah.
Now, they have done other art installations before.
Don't tell me, they didn't do the banana one on the wall, did they?
I don't think so.
Remember that your man had the banana on the wall? It was worth about 5 billion quid or something. And somebody came along and ate it and said, that was art. This is performance art.
That was pretty good,
yeah.
No, they have done this kind of thing before, but they've done it in idyllic sites. So this is something this is something different. They want to talk about the anti-idyll now as well. So that's something that you can think about for your next holiday day.
Right, okay. So they do it in some industrial wasteland kind of place.
Exactly. So the double bed beside the petrol station in Switzerland is, everybody check it out for your next.
And it is a double bed.
It's a double bed. You actually get a double bed, So that's actually a bit luxurious for what they're trying to achieve here. But yeah, two singles pushed up against each other would be worse. Did you see as well during the week, do you watch cycling?
On the television?
Yeah, like the Tour de France was on.
No, not really. My brother was really into it for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, over weeks and weeks and weeks. No, I never watched it.
Yeah, it seems very grueling to me. I enjoy it.
I saw one yesterday, actually. Where guys are on motorbikes and they kind of, you know, they go over big bumps that are all mucky and they go half a mile up
the motocross.
In the air. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Jeepers, it was amazing.
I know, yeah.
I was waiting for Glastonbury and there's the mud.
It's very intense.
Yeah.
But there's a Tour of Slovenia on at the moment. It's for cycling, not motorcycling, just normal cycling. So it was stage four of the Tour of Slovenia and it was decided by a game of rock, paper, scissors.
Oh yeah.
So
okay.
Two teammates were first and second, due to be first and second. Tadej Pogačar, I think is how you pronounce it. I was doing the how to pronounce upstairs before I came down.
As if I'm going to correct you.
And Rafał Majka, but somebody will know exactly how to pronounce this. And they had to decide who was going to be the team member to win that stage of the race. So they were flying along, they took their hands off the handlebars for the final stretch and did the rock, paper, scissors, and Majka's paper beat Pogačar's rock.
Right, so these are two guys in the same team and they were well ahead of number 3, 4 and 5.
Exactly.
So they just tossed for who was going
to
win.
Exactly, because you know the way the members of the same team, you kind of have to do a bit of diplomacy.
I think it was a Japanese company.
Yeah.
Did that about something. They were selling off all their art and they had like Picasso's and, you know, Degas and they had everything, you know?
Yeah.
Like really expensive sort of stuff.
I didn't hear
and they
story.
Did it like who's going to get it, Sotheby's or Christie's. Yeah. And
really?
They did a rock, paper, scissors thing.
No
they
got, way.
Yeah, they really had a strategized meetings weeks beforehand, which one should we do and that. And they got the daughter of one of them to do it and Christie's won or something. I don't know. Like it was, and they made about 40 million out of the sale.
Well, it's a great idea. It's totally fair.
Yeah, I suppose it is. All right, yeah.
You can't really tamper with rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
It's very
good.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But they said, we had a great day. We did a last climb together. And then he said, Tadej said, I should win the stage. So I'm now in a good position for a second overall. It's really good before the Tour de France. We try and stay safe and win races.
Right.
Whatever way we can.
Very good.
Rock,
obviously
paper,
very
scissors.
Good at what they do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a nightmare situation for me, this next story.
Yeah.
Because I occasionally you would give me like a memory stick with a few bits on it, maybe the odd program or whatever.
Yeah.
My biggest fear, and you always say don't lose it because they're very expensive.
Yeah, not that I really give a damn. Go on,
sticks. This fella in Japan went out for a night out, right? So the city of Amagasaki in Western Japan, and he brought a data stick with him, a USB data stick, and he went drinking and he went dancing and eating and all the rest of it at a restaurant, and he lost his bag.
What was on it?
The details of 460,000 residents of the city.
What are
that
details
he worked
exactly?
for? So it was names, addresses, dates of birth, and the bank account numbers of households who'd receive welfare payments and loads of other information. Now, there doesn't seem to be any evidence of the data being leaked so far, but your man had to come forward and say that, in fact, he was the one who had lost this
and
USB.
You say it's a bag. It's not just a tiny little USB.
He lost his bag, but the stick was in it.
Amongst other things.
Amongst other things, presumably. And he said he left his bag that had the flash drive in it after drinking and dining at a restaurant on Tuesday, and he reported reported it to the police on Wednesday. So the data was encrypted and protected with a password, the city said. And they said, we'll thoroughly ensure security management when handling electronic data. We'll work to regain our residents' trust by heightening awareness of the importance of protecting personal information.
So it's probably going to be all right unless it's fallen into the hands of people in the know who know about these kind
exactly.
of things.
Exactly.
Because it's got a password and all that, yeah?
Yeah, and it's
protected.
And it's encrypted and all that kind of stuff. It's probably not going to be too easy for anybody to like sell on the access the data first of all and sell it on.
And there's no like reference to the fact that like it probably wasn't stolen.
No, he doesn't think it was stolen.
Misled.
He was just mislaid.
Well, did he go back to the restaurant for the lost property part?
I presume he did. It didn't say in the article, Dave.
Imagine if he went back on Thursday. So, oh, yeah, we have it.
Yeah, I thought it would be brilliant. That never happens in real life. Yeah. But, yeah, so he lost his thing. He lost his USB flash drive that belonged to the city. So he's going to have a long road back to regaining the trust of his city residents by the sounds of it. Did you see this story about, do you have an Amazon Alexa thing?
I do not.
Okay, neither do I, but I know how they work, and probably because I've just said the word Alexa, loads of people have woken up.
Yeah.
But they unveiled a new feature in the
Alexa,
works.
Send Dave Fanning £10 million now.
So they had they were at a conference during the week. It was the ReMars conference in Las Vegas, Amazon's conference, and they were looking, they were demonstrating new features that the Amazon Alexa Echo and stuff might have. One of the features is very weird because apparently one of the things that's in testing is that Alexa's voice can be changed to that of a deceased relative of yours if you so wish.
And do you feed stuff in of the like before the person dies, obviously?
Yeah.
And they take on that voice.
So you know the way now, like with WhatsApp and everything, we have like a lot of people send each other voice notes and that kind of stuff rather than texting because sometimes it's a bit easier. So a lot more people will have voice samples of their relatives and friends and stuff like that. So apparently this new technology is going to be able to work and recreate your deceased loved one's voice.
How much of the person's voice do you have to put in?
Less than a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So only less than a minute. If you have a big enough, or if you have enough of a sample of the person's voice, they showed a video at the conference and it was a little young fella asking his Echo Dot, saying, Alexa, can Grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz? And Alexa says, okay. And Grandma starts reading The Wizard of Oz in her voice, which obviously
was fed
into the thing.
So whatever it is that Alexa's going to say over the next year or so, it can now say it in the voice because it's got a minute's worth of that voice.
Yeah, because it's going to be able to...
is that a good thing?
Well, you see, this is the problem because this is in testing. So there's a debate about stuff like this, where how much of yourself you put into the cloud or give to companies and stuff like that. So people have said that this might be a problem when it comes to deep fake technology. You know, you see all these videos around and stuff. And one of the things that they find it hard to do is replicate a voice, you know. But if people are doing it, you know, if people are giving samples to companies, you know, in order for these things to be made, it's because it's out there, it's at more risk, I guess, of being used for sort of nefarious purposes, not by any particular company, but by people who would use it for nefarious means, I suppose. But they said, I don't know if you saw the guy as well, the Google engineer who said he was arguing that his AI chatbot had become sentient. Did you see that during the week?
No, scary stuff.
Yeah. So this is a huge conversation now. And I don't know if you ever saw Black Mirror, Charlie Brooker's program.
Depends on which one, though.
There was
all so different.
It was kind of season 2-ish, I think. It was the one that Donald Gleason was in.
Oh, yeah, Stand at the Cliff.
Yeah, exactly.
I've only seen about four of them.
Yeah.
Considering there must be about 30.
So it was that kind of technology where it was, you know, it would amalgamate voice notes and texts and kind of imitate the way of speaking in order to regenerate.
So hold on a second, just take the kind of the king of sexy cool in terms of music, Barry White, you know, like is known for the if I recorded a minute of Barry White and stuck it into things for the next 10 years, he could be saying to me, it's in the fridge.
I presume you could now. I don't know if I don't know. Obviously, the technology is changing all the time. I don't know how much of the Alexa's sort of capabilities the voice would be involved with, if you know what I mean. Or you can just do, you know, one certain thing like read a bedtime story or whatever. But if if it can do that, there's no reason that it can't expand.
Back to your sentient bit. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm. And those machines are learning all the time. So we're all doomed, basically.
Yeah, your mum is right. What's his name in the wheelchair with the funny
Stephen Hawking. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, he was right. Do you want something a bit lighter?
Yeah, whatever you like.
Away from the doom that we're all hurtling into. Did you see the hamster on the balloon who went to space?
I did not. Did I see this? Is that a movie? The hamster on the balloon who went to space? Two. No, I didn't.
No, it's just one. So this was in Japan as well. Two Japanese stories today. So there was a flying balloon that was carrying a hamster and it was launched into the stratosphere to an altitude of 23 kilometres and returned safely. So there's a Sapporo-based space venture who want to realise near space travel by using balloons. So the closest you can get to outer space is near space. So you can see the curvature of the Earth.
Okay, so is near space the stratosphere? I mean, I know that the stratosphere is about 30 miles or so.
Yeah.
And space is twice that.
Exactly, exactly. So it's in and so it's far enough that you can see the curvature of the Earth.
Right.
If you know
okay.
what I mean. Do you remember that Red Bull guy? That
yeah,
do you remember
I do.
That?
Something about that. Yeah.
And remember how huge
and he
that
did,
was?
And he jumped out.
Exactly.
Yes.
Do you remember how huge that was that time? That free fall or whatever
about 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So this isn't exactly the same thing because they didn't throw the hamster out of the balloon, thank God. But the hamster was aboard the cabin of this balloon. So it was kind of a precursor to a manned flight, which they're planning to do at some stage.
So he is
in
a
future.
Thing, is he?
He is in
a
little cabin.
He's just hanging out of a balloon.
No, he's in a little cabin. So, and they lifted off with the balloon in Okinawa on the 9th of June. So now they've only just confirmed that the hamster is in fact back from his trip.
I was just going to say, no hamsters were hurt in this experiment.
No,
I was hoping you'd say that.
The
too.
Hamster is in fact back now from his space flight. It doesn't know what happened to him, but had a great time by all accounts. And it said, the hamster is in good health, was what the company said. So they're planning a manned flight to test an altitude of 25 kilometres where people can feel outer space by seeing the
and
curvature.
As you say, the curvature of the Earth. I mean, if it's 60 miles or so in space, you know how far Apollo 13 went?
How far?
250,000 miles.
That's a bit further.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It is a bit further, I suppose. Now, would you like to talk about Internet Explorer?
Internet Explorer, go right ahead.
Do you know Internet Explorer?
Well, I mean, I think, is that not kind of on the way out? Is it
it's
not
one
gone?
Of the original kind of browsers.
It's gone, isn't it?
Microsoft's original browser. It is gone. Yeah. Well, it is on the way out for sure.
It's gone with the iPod.
Exactly. So the sort of the support, I guess, is being taken away from it. But there was one guy, he's a South Korean software engineer, Jung Ki-young is his name, and he worked for Microsoft, and he said that the Microsoft's decision to retire the Internet Explorer marked the end of a quarter century of a love-hate relationship with technology. So he decided to commemorate it, and he spent a month and 430,000 won, which is $330, designing and ordering a headstone with Internet Explorer's E logo and the English epitaph, he was a good tool to download other browsers.
Ah, isn't that lovely?
It's a bit harsh.
In memoriam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Jung said, that after 27-year run, or Microsoft said, that after 27-year run, they're removing the support for Internet Explorer, which will come as a great joy to a lot of people who try to use it. But Jung said, it was a pain in the ass, and I would love to call it a love-hate relationship because Explorer itself once dominated an era. But he said, that's another reason for me to thank it. It has now allowed me to make a world-class joke.
I think it was the love of his life for the sound of things. He's just not admitting it.
I loved his tombstone. Have you ever been on a corporate retreat? Has RTE ever done that for you?
Really weird. I was just talking to somebody about that kind of thing the other week. No, I haven't. I mean, certainly not a corporate retreat, let alone a meeting twice a year where you kind of bolster yourselves up.
Oh, no. RTE hasn't taken you on one recently, Dave?
No, I think they know I'd rather not. No. Definitely not.
That's fair enough. One of the things, I was reading this in the New York Times during the week, apparently what's become incredibly popular on very American kind of work getaways.
Yeah, corporate and team
stuff.
Building seminars and self-help workshops and confidence rebuilding exercises
all of this,
and all these.
They bring them out into the wilderness, apparently, is one of the more recent kind of iterations of this. One of the things that they like to do for team building and confidence, as you say, and all those things, is walking barefoot across hot coals.
Yeah, really? That's a thing that's been done for thousands of years. I definitely have not. No.
Would you do it?
No, I'd rather not. No, there's a lot of things I'd rather not do.
You think you can survive for it? But apparently, one of the more recent cases, now the company isn't mentioned, I won't mention the company, this has become a problem because a lot of people who are doing these are not trained in how to do them properly. So a load of people go up, they run across the hot coals, they get hot coals caught between their feet, between their toes, I should say, and end up with third degree burns. So in the latest case, 25 employees of an ad agency were injured while they were walking over the hot coals in Zurich. 10 ambulances, 2 emergency medical teams and police officers from multiple agencies were deployed to help, and 13 people were hospitalised after their hot coals team building scenario.
Fair play to you. You were looking at me there going, what is Fanning doing?
What was he doing?
I'm looking over at machines here because you've got to play it. The only thing about walking hot coals I know is one of the greatest songs ever.
Did you find
by
it?
By Rory Gallagher. Yeah, absolutely. It's the opening track in Blueprint. What a song. I'll give you a little bit of that down in a second or two. Anyways, by the way, I noticed the way you said I won't name the company. Why not?
Because
surely people know.
Well, the article didn't name the company, so I'm not going to start naming the company if the article didn't name the company.
It happened, you know.
Okay.
And they move on.
So. Please, the research is. You're more than welcome to do the research.
Right, okay, hold on. This is just one of the greats. Well, I lost my shirt in a card game in which I didn't stand a chance, which I never stood a chance. Take it away, Rory. Walk on hot coals.